This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
When God Almighty met his folk of peace and truth, he boldly spoke to set the slave and tyrant free, and whispered humbly, "Follow me." Mighty took his place to save the sometimes human race. He took it boldly on a tree and whispered humbly, "Follow me." When God Almighty comes again, he'll meet us incognito as then. And though no words may voice his plea, he'll whisper, "Are you following me?"
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, intrude into our settled little lives with your life-giving power. Burst into our quiet, contented lives with your disruptive grace. Descend upon us with your igniting Holy Spirit. Mold us. Make something beautiful out of us with your world-creating hand. Go ahead and disrupt us, dislocate us, dislodge us, until we are the people you would have us to be. Amen. Good morning. With the lack of children and youth in our service this morning, I want to dispel the rumors. No, the rapture did not occur and take all of our children and youth away. They were all here last night. We had 273 here for our closing celebration for our vacation church camp. In addition to which, 37 of those youth, junior and senior high, boarded the bus at 4:30 this morning and left for a week at the Episcopal retreat camp at Canoga. Father William and I were around for just about everything this week, so we're a little tired. So if you don't mind, I'm going to hang on to the pulpit this morning for support. I saw a cartoon of a woman running out of her house with her trash because she heard the garbage truck. And she was still wearing her ragged bathrobe, worn-out slippers. Her hair was in curlers, and her face was coated with all that greasy face cream that women wear overnight. She comes up to the garbage man and says, "Am I too late for the garbage?" To which he replies, "No, hop right in." Sometimes we feel like garbage. Sometimes we feel like trash. Sometimes other people try to make us feel like garbage or trash. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we are the perpetrators of making others feel like garbage or trash. The gospel that we are given today juxtaposes two different themes. One of how worthwhile and how much value we have in the eyes of God. And then towards the end gets into this whole situation with the conflict that can result for those who choose to follow Jesus. I think when we look at this gospel today and set the stage by way of what Jesus says and does, it will help us more to deal with the conflicts that exist in our own personal lives and in our life as human beings on this planet as well. We looked last week at the gruesome way in which 11 of the 12 original apostles gave their lives. Jesus does not back off from that statement because he knows there will be suffering for those who choose to follow him. But there is incredible good news as well. And that good news he issues forth in so many different stories and parables throughout the Gospels, today being no exception. God loves us so much that every hair on the top of your head is counted. God loves you more than those little sparrows. And when we understand when he is talking in this language about the sparrow that falls, it's more likely not that the sparrow who dies, but the sparrow who comes down upon the ground and hops around. And every time that sparrow hops, God is there with and protecting that sparrow. And every time a sparrow hops upon the ground, if God is looking out for that sparrow, how much more is God going to take care of us? Our life has value. Nobody is trash. Nobody is garbage. Now, when we understand that, and believe it, it becomes a lot more possible for us to take on the mission to which God has entrusted us and to deal with the conflicts that will arise as we go forward in our lives in Christ. It seems a little bit strange to me that Matthew talks so specifically and so directly in this gospel about all of this conflict, because he's the one who emphasizes so much in other parts of his gospel about unity. He's the one who talks about keeping unity in marriage. He's the one who talks about forgiveness and reconciliation a lot and in very specific terms. And yet today, we get these strong words about conflict. Yet I think, when we look at these comments in light of the first part of the gospel, that everyone's life has value, that in the eyes and heart of God, we all have value, it will help us to deal with the inevitable conflicts that will exist in our lives following him. This is our fourth Sunday of the month, and so we just use the gospel, as is our tradition on this day. But the readings that we have been hearing as our first reading are from the book of Genesis. And the reading that was assigned for today gives us an incredible clue to what this is all about. That not only all life, all human life has value, that we need, as we say in our baptismal covenant, to respect the dignity of every human being, but likewise that there is a way that we are called to deal with conflict. It comes out of the reading from Genesis. We have heard, as we have heard in these last weeks, about Abraham and Sarah. We have heard about how in their old age they are told that they are going to have a son. I don't think that a lot of us have been willing to really look into that entire story. A story that begins and continues with something that is a very integral part of the story that is about conflict. It tells us that God loves those in the eyes of the world who are considered to be trash or garbage or losers. It's a story that starts with Sarah's inability to have a child. And Sarah is the one who instigates the idea that her slave Hagar should lie with Abraham so that Abraham can have a child. Now, Jewish tradition tells us that Hagar was very beautiful, tall, elegant, narrow hips of an Egyptian. Well, somehow, Sarah decided that Abraham should have a child through her. Well, Abraham leaps at this decision, and voila. Hagar becomes pregnant, has a child, Ishmael. The problem with this is that now Sarah becomes jealous of Hagar. She thinks Hagar is a bit too cocky, and she complains to Abraham. Well, being a smart man, Abraham stays out of the cat fight and tells Sarah to do whatever she wishes to do with Hagar. So Sarah goes on and makes life miserable as she can for Hagar, so much so that Hagar flees to the desert. In the desert, God comes to Hagar and tells her to return, promising that God would bless her son and make of him a great nation. Hagar returns. And for 13 years, Sarah watches as Hagar raises Ishmael. For 13 years, she sees Abraham enjoy and revel in Ishmael, his son. But the furor and rage continue to boil. No matter how miserable she tries to make Hagar's life, she cannot get beyond the fact that Hagar has borne Abraham a son and she has not. And remember, it was Sarah who instigated all of this. But can we imagine how this would have affected Sarah? Can we imagine her sense of worthlessness? can we understand how she might have taken it out upon Hagar in as vindictive a manner as she did? But then the miraculous happens. Sarah becomes pregnant in her old age. At last, God vindicates her. When her son Isaac is born, she gives him his name because her anger is replaced by laughter. Isaac means to laugh, or he makes me laugh. Well, no more will she have to endure those snide looks from Hagar over her barrenness. She has born a son, and now she feels worthy, not trash. But all isn't well in paradise. Isaac grows to about 3 years old, and Sarah's anger comes back because Ishmael, a teenager of 16 now, and Isaac are playing together, and evidently Ishmael laughs at Isaac in a condescending manner. Sarah can't stand it. She will not put up with this child of the slave girl being equal to her beloved Isaac, much less mocking him. So Sarah demands that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away, much to the chagrin of Abraham. However, God comes to Abraham and reiterates the promise God made to Hagar concerning Ishmael. So Hagar and Ishmael are sent into the wilderness with a skin of water and a loaf of bread. Soon they face death from dehydration and starvation. Hagar places Ishmael under a bush because she can't stand to watch her son die. However, God has not abandoned them. They are led to a well of water. Ishmael grows up in the wilderness under the care of his mother and becomes an excellent hunter and marksman with a bow. When he is older, Hagar goes to Egypt and gets Ishmael an Egyptian wife. Ishmael eventually has 12 sons who are later divided into 12 tribes. And God's promise comes true. A great nation comes of them. Ishmael's descendants are whom we know as Muslims, the largest non-Christian religious group on the face of the earth. About 1 billion by the latest estimates. Who instigated all of this? Sarah. It brings home to me in an incredibly powerful way the fact that God values all human beings, that in some incredible and miraculous way, God has a plan that is far beyond our understanding, that enables God and calls us to deal with conflict in such a way that starts with an understanding that all people are not trash or garbage or losers. The story continues as we know it, and God continues to choose those who would not be in the first place in the eyes of the world, the losers in the eyes of the world. Jacob is going to supplant his older brother Esau. Joseph was the younger child. Moses had an older brother Aaron, but Moses is the one who will get to have the primacy. David is the youngest of his brothers, but he's the one who will be anointed as king. Solomon is not the firstborn of David's son, but guess what? He becomes the heir. And it will go on and on till we get to the point that a 12-year-old girl, nothing in the eyes of society or the world, is chosen to bear God's own son. All human beings have value. If we can start, continue, and end all of our thoughts and actions with that, perhaps we will find creative solutions not only for our own personal conflicts, but the conflicts we encounter throughout God's beautiful world. Amen.